Well, good morning. I'm going to ask you to turn your Bibles to Psalm 23. Psalm 23. Once again, I'll be reading from the New King James Version. Psalms 23, and we're going to look at verse 1, Psalm 23, verse 1 only. David, moved by the Holy Spirit of God, says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." Let's pray. Lord, we pray today that you'd help to make your word alive to us. Pray, O Lord God, that you would grant us understanding of the text. That, Lord, you'd help us to make an application to it in our life. And Father, that you would show us mercy, that you would guide us, that you would lead us, direct us, that you would feed us, that indeed you would be our shepherd. Father, we pray that this day that mercy might be wrought in us, grace would be given, and forgiveness granted. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Psalm 23, verse 1 only. Who is your shepherd? Who is your shepherd? What's the implication of the statement? When David says, "The Lord is my shepherd," there's an implication that is buried within the statement. The implication is this. David recognizes that he is one of the Lord's sheep, just as other believers are. Now, somebody might say, "Well, I thought David was actually a shepherd at one time." Well, he was. He was a shepherd boy, and he was a king, too. And you can remember that as a king, he was a under-shepherd, if you will, for the children of Israel. But David recognizes that before Almighty God, he is a lowly sheep, while God is the shepherd. Matter of fact, also in Psalm 100, kind of captivates on this theme of God being shepherd and we sheep. In Psalm 100, it says this, it's a psalm of thanksgiving. It says, "Make a joyful shout to the Lord, all you lands, and serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing and know that he is the Lord and he is God. It is he who has made us and not we ourselves." And he goes on to say that we are his people and the sheep of his pasture. You know, a lot of the hymns that we sing also affirm God's providential care over us and asserting that we are the sheep and that he is the shepherd as he looks after us and he cares for us. But you might ask yourself, well, what are sheep like anyhow? Dale, probably better than most here, could tell us exactly what sheep are like. I'm going to guess, Dale, and this is some of the things I'll say. As far as I can tell, sheep are beset with fear and timidity and stubbornness and stupidity, and they are prone to wander and practice perverse habits and bad habits. Now, as you think about that, it's pretty easy to see the profound parallels to our own behavior. Because I think about man's behavior and I think, well, fear, yep, timidity, certainly, stubbornness, yep, stupidity, prone to wander, practicing perverse habits and practicing bad habits. I think, well, that lines up pretty well. As far as I know, sheep need constant care and endless attention. They're not like goats. Goats seem to be able to take care of themselves. Sheep, not the case. Sheep need a shepherd, folks. That's what it boils down to. Sheep need a shepherd. Without a shepherd, sheep become weak, sick, riddled with all sorts of diseases, parasites. They wander aimlessly, and they become prey for predators who seek to kill and destroy them. Well, that leads naturally to another question. Then what does a shepherd do? If sheep need a shepherd because they are sheep and the way they are, then what does the shepherd do for the sheep? Well, he feeds the sheep, he watches the sheep, he waters the sheep, he leads the sheep, he protects the sheep, he cares for them, he seeks for them, he rescues them, he gathers them as a flock, he brings back the straying, he binds up the crippled, he strengthens the weak, he carries the lambs in his bosom, he talks to them so that they will know his voice, and he demonstrates his great love and devotion to them because he will lay down his life for them so as to deliver them from the enemy. You know, as you think about it, shepherding is serious business, isn't it? Shepherding is demanding and it's strenuous work. And our spirit-inspired writer knows well what shepherding is all about since he himself was a shepherd over a flock. And he also knows who's the best shepherd suited for the task. And that's why David says, "The Lord is my shepherd. He is my shepherd." The Lord God of heaven and earth is our shepherd. The one who spoke into existence creation itself in the span of 6 days, who created the vastness and the immensity of the celestial heavens with express purpose, design, and intent, he is our shepherd. One of the psalms that always resonates to me when I'm looking into the heavens is Psalm 19, verses 1 through 4, when it says, "The heavens declare the glory of God, and the expanse above shows his handiwork. Day unto day utters speech, night unto night reveals knowledge. There is no speech or language where the voice is not heard. Their line goes out throughout all the earth and the worlds to the end of the world." So it becomes clear then, not only because I am united to God through Jesus Christ that he is my shepherd, but I'm reminded of his shepherding when I look into the heavens and I see its complexity. I see its beauty. I see its design. And I say, you know what? Not only is he my creator, he's my shepherd. Amen. He laid the foundations. He determined its measurements. He commands the seas. He commands the skies. He determines its measurements, determines the seasons, determines the times. God made us out of the dust of the earth and breathed into us the breath of life so that we would become a living, breathing, rational, moral being, right? God did that. He knows everything about us. He's omnipotent. He's omnipresent. He's omniscient. He is the one who is the fountainhead of love and holiness and wisdom and knowledge, things that he then imparts to us. That's my shepherd. You know, when we leaf through the pages of Scripture, and we see our shepherd absolutely everywhere doing everything. You know, when we study through the book of Exodus, what do we see our shepherd doing? Leading his people, right? Not only leading his people, and we're talking a mass of people, it was a big flock, if you want to use the analogy. Well over 1 million strong, I'm sure. He leads them out into the wilderness, and what does he do? He provides for them. He feeds them. How in the world does God feed 1 million people plus? Only the way that God can feed. He gives them manna in the wilderness. According to Psalm 78, manna's angels' food, right? They had pretty good provisions. Quail, I remember reading through, I think it was Exodus 32, they had gotten quail. He gave them water from a rock. What am I trying to establish? I'm trying to establish that he led a people, he fed a people, he watered a people, he provided for the people, and he protected the people. And he led them into a land flowing with milk and honey. He gave them the best land. And he set them in the land. And they're still in the land, in case you was wondering. You know, I wonder if David, when he was reading, "The Lord is my shepherd," ever thought about the fact, you know, this is the one who gave me the victory over the Goliath, over the giant. This is the one who saved me from Saul's clutches when he sought to seek my life. This is the one that's protected me all my days. He is my shepherd. This is my shepherd. We turn our eyes to the New Testament, and what do we see? We see David's shepherd, don't we? We see the invisible God made visible in Jesus Christ. And it takes our breath away. You know, we've heard of him only by the hearing of the ear, but now we see him. Where do we see him? Clearly revealed in the pages of Holy Scripture. And when I read through the Word of God in the New Testament and I turn the page, it's page after page, I see my Savior. And the illustrations and the images that run through my mind are endless. There he is. There he is leading the people. There he is touching the weak. There he is healing. There he is exerting his providential care. What a glorious shepherd he is, full of tenderness and mercy, wooing and calling them as to come and to be part of his flock. That's my shepherd that I read there. That's why I get excited when I read through the New Testament. Not so much more than the old, but there I see my Savior. There I see the one who called to me. And that's what he does. He calls his sheep one by one. Think about it in the New Testament. When Christ called his disciples to himself, come, Peter. Come, Andrew. Come, Matthew. Is it any different for us? Those in whom the world thought we were not worthy of receiving anything, and yet who called us? Our shepherd did. He said, come, Gary. Come, Steve. Come, Linda. We're the stray lambs that he carried on his bosoms. And you know what? Our shepherd loves us with an everlasting love. And his devotion to us is unparalleled in human history. There has never been a shepherd like him who cared like he cares for his flock. We see our shepherd rescuing us from certain damnation and judgment due our sins. We see him rescuing us from the predator's kingdom, that being the devil who had us in bondage to our own sin. Colossians as much as makes and asserts this very thing for us. And if I can find it, I'll read it to you. Colossians chapter 1, verses 13 and 14. Sometimes it takes me a little while. My pages are falling out too. Colossians 1, 13 and 14, he has delivered us. This is your shepherd, folks. He's delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of his love, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. Well, he seems like a pretty mighty shepherd. Well, he is a mighty shepherd, because when I read on, it says he's the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by him all things were created that are in heaven and are on the earth, visible and invisible. Thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created through him and for him. He's before all things, and in him all things consist. This is a glorious and mighty shepherd. And you know what? He's my shepherd. Then how does my shepherd demonstrate his love for me? By be willing to take his life for mine. You know, in Romans chapter 5, it says this, for when we were still without strength in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. God demonstrates his own love towards us, and that while we were still yet sinners, Christ died for us. So in the very midst of us actively pursuing and practicing sin, our shepherd dies for us so that we would not be consumed by our enemy. He did so as to protect us from our own ruin. To protect us from ourselves. You know, one of the greatest chapters, I think, in the New Testament is in John chapter 10, where Jesus lays out that he is the good shepherd and why it is that he's the good shepherd and what it is that he does because he's the good shepherd. In John chapter 10, verse 11, Jesus says, I'm the good shepherd, and the good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. This is what a good shepherd does, Jesus says. He lays his life on the line. But then he warns us. He says, you know, a hireling, he who is not the shepherd, one who does not own the sheep, he sees the wolf coming, danger coming, and what does he do? He leaves the sheep and he flees. The wolf catches the sheep and scatters them. A hireling flees because he's a hireling. He doesn't care about the sheep. But I'm a good shepherd. You know what? I am the good shepherd. And I know my sheep and am known by my own. As the Father knows me, even so I know the Father. I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them also I must bring. And they will hear my voice. And there will be one flock and one shepherd. Therefore, my Father loves me because I lay down my life that I might take it up again. Our shepherd died for us so that we would live. No one else will do that for you. Only Christ will do that. That's why it is he's not only a good shepherd, that's why it is that he is the good shepherd. Because there's not another man in the history of humanity that would die for us in the condition and in the state we are, in the enmity that we had created because of our love for sin before God. Be willing to take the penalty for our sin upon himself and say, yes, I will stand in their place and I will die for them. That's why he's our shepherd. He bought us at a price by his own blood. And if that's the case, then how can we not follow such a compassionate, glorious shepherd? Why in the world would we follow anybody else with a shepherd like that? We follow him where he leads. And you know what? He's given us his distinctive mark. This is one thing that I didn't know. I didn't realize that shepherds in the old days, and maybe they still do, I don't know. Dale, I have to get with you after service. What they would do is that they would make a distinctive mark on the ears of their sheep so as to distinguish them. And as you think about that, well then, hasn't God then given us a distinctive mark? It is. It's the Holy Spirit. He's given us a distinctive mark who dwells in us so that we might be easily identifiable in the world in which we live. So that men might say, there's a Christian. There's a Christian. There's a Christian. How so? Because the whole nature of his life has radically changed. That there's something different about him. He's given him his mark and he lives within him. Well, that's what our shepherd does, because then the shepherd says, he's mine, she's mine, and this is what I've done. And I love the fact that my shepherd nourishes me, and he nourishes you. When we were the little lambs, when we were the little lambs that he had brought in his bosom, when we first came to Christ, we were the babes, what did he nourish us with? The milk of the Word. To establish a strong foundation so that we might grow thereby, right? And as we've grown and become adults, he still nourishes us. He still feeds us with heartier things, things that make us strong and sustain us. This is what God does, and he protects us. Who does he protect us against? Scriptures call him the wolf, calls him the lamb, calls him the viper. It is the devil. It is our adversary. What does he protect us from? He protects us from him so that we might not be overcome. And Scripture assures us that we will not be overcome by him. He protects us so that we wouldn't be separated from him. Do you understand that the Scriptures in Romans 8 very clearly, in the last verse in verse 39, says that we will never be separated from the love of our Lord through Jesus Christ? It's because of the work of our shepherd. He ensures this. And because he's our shepherd, then, what does the Scripture say? David says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not what? Want. It means lack, to have no gain. I shall not want. Because he's my shepherd, it expresses to us the sentiment of a sheep that is completely satisfied and content with the lot in which his shepherd has given to him. We talked a little bit about that last week, or maybe 2 weeks ago, about the aspect of contentment in our life. With the Lord as my shepherd, I have no want. I have no lack, because he's provided everything necessary for me. You can write on your bulletins if you want Matthew 6:25-33. It lays out the vanity of worrying about food and clothing and shelter and everything else. Why? Well, because the Lord is your shepherd. Jesus says, when the Lord is your shepherd, you don't have to worry about these minuscule things in life. They'll be provided for you. That's what a shepherd does. He cares for his flock. He gives what is necessary for the sustaining of your life. He says in Luke 12:32, don't fear, little flock. Don't fear. It is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. You ever think about that? Not only has he given you what you have now, but there's greater things in store that the shepherd has. things that can't be fully realized until we go to be with the shepherd face to face. So not only do we have provisions now, we have provisions for the eternity. We're under God's care. We're under Christ's control. All of our affairs are in the most capable hands. And because of that, there should be no insecurity as it pertains to us. No restlessness. No wanting this or that, but complete satisfaction in His management of our life. Because you know what? He delights in His flock. He delights in seeing His sheep content with what He has provided for them. The Lord labors to supply the finest grazing for us, really. And I know I'm using a lot of figurative and things like that language, but He provides us the richest pastures, the amplest feed, the cleanest water. He doesn't spare Himself no pain to provide shelter from the storms of life, protection from ruthless enemies to which we are all susceptible. He's always alert as it pertains to the welfare of His flock. This is the way Christ is. Matter of fact, the scriptures say, He who watches over us neither sleeps nor slumbers, right? It's 24-hour, 7-day-a-week care that we receive from our shepherd. Yet what's our tendency? Well, I know what my tendency is. My tendency is to question the care of the shepherd. My tendency is to want what may be to my own harm. My question is, or is my tendency are, to stray frequently and to get caught up and overwhelmed and then have to cry out for help from my shepherd. I'm the goofy little sheep who wanders around the borders of his fence looking for the hole so I can pop out and wander around for a little bit and then get myself in a mess and then have to cry out for his help. Bam, 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 that's me. But we all do this. Now, I have a word of caution, though. And this is something I've picked up on over the years as being a minister. The word of caution is this. There is a common fallacy amongst men that the Lord is the shepherd of all men. The Lord is the shepherd of all men. That's the fallacy that I've ran into. But I ask you, is He? How often at funerals have you heard either I or other pastors read from this verse? How often have we then heard men repeat those words in kind? Are we then to suppose that all the men who remained either silent or those who repeated the words are both and together under the same care of the Lord as shepherd? Well, it's a comforting sentiment. And while grief is high and the emotions are strained, it provides some sort of relief for people in their minds. But it would not be true to say that the Christian who serves Christ and the one who does not serve Christ are in the same flock and under the same shepherd. That is not true. If you have not been born again, you are not under the care of the shepherding of Jesus Christ. No repentance for the severity and the filth of our sin before a holy God and believing and embracing the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, then you don't have a benevolent shepherd on your behalf to care for you. Well, some people say, well, I believe in God, so that must mean that the Lord is my shepherd. Well, you believe in God, that's good. But so too do the demons. And I'm certain that the demons are not under the shepherding care of Christ. Some people tell me, well, I practice a lot of religious festivals or practices or rituals, or I even go to church, you know, once in a while. That's great. But you know, the Pharisees and the scribes were much better at that than we are, and yet they weren't under the shepherding of Christ. Amen. You must have Christ. You must love Christ. You must deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow Christ. Otherwise, we are not under the care of Jesus Christ. We are under the care of a different shepherd. Well, I didn't know there were any other shepherds. Yes, there's two shepherds. There's the Lord is our shepherd, and then there's another shepherd. Let me describe the other shepherd. He's a shepherd who could care less about you. He's a shepherd who would instinctively seek to ultimately kill and destroy his own sheep. He is a shepherd who will lead you along a path of destruction and disaster, who in your greatest hour of need will abandon you and leave you to yourself. He's a shepherd who will lie incessantly to you and distract you from things pleasing to the eye and stimulating to the flesh. He's a shepherd who doesn't know how to love. But he is a shepherd who will gladly lead you into the throes of hell itself. And that shepherd is the devil. And folks, the Bible tells me that there's only two types of children, which means there's only two types of sheep. There are sheep who are children of God under the shepherding of Christ, or there are sheep who Scripture calls goats who are under the shepherding of the devil himself. Then we ask ourselves, well, then who is my shepherd? Is it Jesus Christ or is it Satan?